You ready today, Keith?
I'm ready today. I'm ready every day, Jones.
That was a foolish question in retrospect.
Yeah, please.
Born ready, as they say.
There's still confetti in here from yesterday. Is there any on that
side? It was
a big
day. It was a big. I got most of it with the shop vac, but like we're in good shape here. We cleaned up after ourselves.
I think we did a good job, but I no joke. There's still. I walked in and there was like I was probably like stuck in the wheels
everywhere.
Of the chair or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. There's still confetti.
Like glitter at a strip club.
can't get it off.
Never really get rid of it.
Exactly what it is.
Nice keepsake.
So it's a good reminder though of Drake May making his debut. On Sunday against the Houston Texans, it's official. It's happening.
Yes.
Alex Van Pelt is going to talk to the media today.
A little after 11.
Though. No, not to us. No, we got to wait a few weeks for that. And
it will be
assuming he wants to answer any of our questions.
He won't, but it'll be interesting to see what he says because I don't think anybody has been as steadfast in the support of Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, no, he loves Jacoby Brissett. Apparently
him.
Hates Drake May.
Yeah.
And so
it should be a good working relationship going forward.
That's an odd question.
Yeah, it wasn't in retrospect.
No.
But, he's talking shortly after 11.
All right.
So we'll see what he has to say.
I like his scheme. There's been moments when he's shown to be a good play caller.
That's his guy.
No, moment, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, we're being charitable.
Nice play call.
Dan Orlovsky. So Van Pelt talks later today. He says anything interesting, we'll be sure to pass it along. In the meantime, your thoughts on Drake May and what you expect in his debut. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. We'll open up the lines for you. You can text us at 37937. Follow along on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You're going to want to tune in for that. You never know what's going to happen there. You can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We touched on this yesterday, Keith, your expectations for Drake May, kind of in like a points prism, you know, how many points do we expect the Patriots to score? How do we expect the offense to look? What are your expectations and what bar are you setting for Drake May in his debut against what we think is a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, good team, good defense.
What we know is a really good defense.
I would say 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. No, I would say for Drake May, it is being a competent offense, something that we haven't seen the last 3 weeks, and like fewer three and outs, right? They're the three and out kings. If you need a three and out punt, the Patriots are your squad.
They got you covered.
Because you know what you can't say? You can't say turn it over less than Brissett. That's one thing Brissett didn't really do. He threw the pick six against the Niners, but for the most part, he didn't take chances. Therefore, he didn't turn it over, but he also didn't make plays. So I'll sacrifice I guarantee you he throws an interception. I don't know what the odds are.
Oh, over under half a pick.
He's throwing a pick.
Okay.
Right? He got away with one when he came in the Jets game. Hopefully he throws it a little bit more. I bet he throws a pick. But I also think he throws a touchdown. Like, I think they're going to move the ball a little bit, even if it's 50-50 run pass, or maybe it's even a little bit more heavy on the run. But the bar is so low overall, the 5 weeks that we've seen this offense perform, that if they score 2 offensive touchdowns, it's going to look like a tsunami of points.
It's
you're gonna be like, oh my God, what is this team?
Like the Chiefs when Mahomes first got in there is how it's going to feel. Yeah.
And also, again, I think you have to be prepared for mistakes and maybe a couple like head-scratching plays, but it can't be too many of them. It can't be throwing the ball across your body or trying to avoid a sack and rather than just taking a sack, trying to make a play and throwing it right to a linebacker. Like, it's going to be you can't have that stuff, even though it is your debut. But I think the bar's low enough where if he scores a couple of touchdowns or he and the offense score a couple of touchdowns, you're going to look like, all right, that's a great place to start for this team.
Yeah, we said yesterday, 17 points, couple of offensive touchdowns. You know, you're putting together some drives where you're not going three and out. You're looking functional. You don't want those head-scratching plays. I mean, I agree with that. Further along, I'd like to see some throws down the field. I mean, this offense just has
that'd
no throws down the field.
Yeah, that'd be good.
You know, and I don't even mean 50-yard bombs. I'm talking that 15 to 20-yard range where you didn't really see that consistently with Brissett. You would see short throws. You would see easy throws. Maybe they'd mix in the deep shot to Polk against the Niners. But that's really more what I'm talking about, like that deep to intermediate range that I don't feel like they're testing right now. I think that's an area of the playbook that you can open up. And, yeah, there's a risk for some turnovers. He probably does turn it over this weekend. You don't want a 3-4 pick game. Your Will Levis.
Yeah, no, right.
You know, I heard the Greg Hill Show talking about this morning. Your Zach Wilson in some of those starts. Like, you don't want that.
The Nathan Peterman.
Yeah,
definitely not that. But from Peterman to Mahomes, there's a big gap there in the middle of how you can play.
But I am willing to take that risk of, like, let's launch it down the field a little bit. It doesn't have to be 50-plus yard throws, but that 15 to 20-yard range, they are not testing. And you need to do that in today's NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to see him run. And I think that's an element of the playbook that should be opened up. I would hope that Alex Van Pelt leans on that a little bit this week. You asked me yesterday, do I expect design runs? I do.
Yeah.
You know, third and shorts, red zone. Like, I don't expect to just do it on first and 10. But if you need to go pick up some yards, I think he's a catalyst to be able to do that, or at least give the defenses some different looks. So they're not loading up on Ramondre Stevenson
right,
and expecting you to just run it right up the gut. I'd expect to see some of that, and I want to see some of that. I think that's his skill set. I think that's what he can bring to this offense. It's part of why I liked him so much coming into the NFL. And so those are the things I want to see. He has a big arm. He's athletic. So throw it down the field and have him run a little bit. These are right, his strengths. These are what he can do. There is no reason in my mind to limit that. None.
Right. No, I know. And I think, you know, as much as it's, well, he's going up against such a good defense, like, why are you throwing him to the wolves like that? I don't know. Sometimes that could be good. Sometimes you go in there and anything you do, I feel like you almost grade it on a curve. Like, if he's able to have some success against a really good defense, isn't that a great sign? So when you play teams like the Jaguars and the Titans and even the Jets later on in the season, you're like, well, look what he was able to do against the Texans. Like, it can kind of work both ways. Not everybody. It's pretty split right now. And the people that didn't want to see him feel like, oh, it's going to be a disaster. His footwork is going to be a mess, and he's just going to get pounded. Well, if he has a little bit of success, like, what kind of confidence that's going to be for him, for the whole offense? Be like, hey, we didn't just wake up a little bit because Drake May's here. We also did it against one of the best teams in the league. Like, that can actually be a good thing.
If it's a disaster, so what?
Yeah, well, that's what I say.
I mean, obviously, I think people are worried about, does it ruin him? Does it break him? Will he never be the same guy? To me, that's wildly overdramatic. But I guess that would be the fear. I would just tell you it's been a disaster. Like, the team has been a disaster. It's hard to be worse than that.
They have two touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, and they both came off of turnovers where it was a short field.
They're averaging the last 3 weeks, I think, like 8 points a game. So
what the hell?
It has been a disaster. Right. Now, May hasn't been involved in that disaster, and I get you're worried about breaking the future of the organization. But at some point, you're going to have to do that.
But also, another example people keep bringing up is how this Texans team is like a great pass rush and all this stuff, and how Caleb Williams got ragdolled, right? 7 sacks. They beat up the Bears in week 2. Did that break Caleb Williams?
No.
Or did he get a lot better 2 weeks later and have his best game of his career week 5?
He lit it up last week.
So you can have bad games. You can have bad moments. You can lose big games, and you can still learn from it and be better after. So you and I both think Drake May should have started all season. He certainly should have started against Miami. Well, that ship has sailed. That didn't happen. You can at least get him in there now, and there can be benefits to it. Even if you're going up against a good team, so be it.
So what are your expectations week 1 in this start this weekend against Houston? I'm already seeing it in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. Which I
like that.
I mean, look, if he does that, we're going to feel pretty good about it, I think. You always got to see it. Who knows? Maybe they're way down in the game. He throws an early pick, and he gets some garbage time, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. Maybe I'd feel differently.
But all right, well, how about this?
In a vacuum, if that's the stat line, I think we'd all feel really good about that.
Well, yeah, Jacoby Brissett has 2 passing touchdowns in 5 games. So if he matches that total in 1 game, I mean, that is
duck boats.
And he hasn't thrown for 200 yards yet.
No, in fact, he's averaging 139.
That sounds high.
Honestly, if Drake May throws 150...
Yeah.
It's a step forward. It's a step clearly in the right direction. I would look at it more like 175.
I think that was the number I heard Shime say today. Shime said 175.
And then run for over 25?
Yeah, something like that.
200 yards of offense?
That's good. You know, I also see this. 3793.
The top one? Oh, no. I like that one.
No. My expectations for Drake May are low, just watchable.
Watchable product.
I think it's going to be watchable.
Yeah, me too.
And I think people are excited for the game this weekend. You should be. You know, if you watched the show yesterday, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Here's an interesting one, too. Hunter Henry's going to have 9 catches and a touchdown. Like,
I just dropped him in fantasy.
I think that's a fine move.
Yeah.
My answer would not be Hunter Henry. But who benefits from May getting in there?
Like, Jalen Polk.
You think that's the one?
I think it's definitely Jalen Polk.
In week one, like, I think over the balance of the season, I totally agree with that. You think week one, it's Jalen Polk?
I think it's Polk. Yeah, I do. He had a couple of chances with Jacoby Brissett that he was out of bounds with. Maybe they take a few more chances, and maybe Drake May puts the ball in a better spot, and he doesn't have to toe tap. He doesn't have to do all that other stuff. So I think Jalen Polk.
You put that on Brissett?
I don't think it was a great throw by Brissett.
Couldn't Polk come down and bounce?
My guy's got to get his little tootsies in there. He's got
to
get his tootsies
in there. There's plenty I blame Brissett for, like throwing it out of bounds on the bomb to Polk, where I still thought Polk was in bounds on that one against the Niners.
Great throws, though.
Okay, they weren't. Yeah. It wasn't a great throw, Polk, get your foot in bounds, Polk.
But maybe they take more chances with Drake May is my point. He has more opportunities to do it. People that have been at practice might have a better sense on which players Drake May is more comfortable with. We don't know if he's like constantly feeding Pop Douglas. Maybe the texter's right. Maybe it is Hunter Henry. Sometimes young quarterbacks, I feel like, do rely on the tight end in certain, they're just a safer throw, that kind of thing. But no, maybe it's more hope than anything else. But I think if Jalen Polk and Drake May can get some sort of connection going, that'd be the best thing.
Well, so that was what I was just going to say. I think you feel best about it.
Yeah.
If it's Jalen Polk, I'd feel really good if it's DeMario Douglas. And I have a feeling that's who it's going to be.
Pop on the tape, Douglas.
I should look at his drive again against the Jets. I feel like I remember that's who he was really peppering at the end of that Jets game. And I don't know how much he was on the field with DeMario Douglas or even Hunter Henry and guys like that in the preseason.
I feel like
he was out there a lot with Jalen Polk in the preseason. I think when he got in there at the end of that Jets game, if memory serves, DeMario Douglas, I know, had one big play on a fourth down, I think. That feels like the guy who's going to get going early. I'm with you, Keith. Long term, I think Jalen Polk, like on balance, weeks 6 through 17 or 18, whatever, I think that's the guy who's going to stand to benefit the most and grow the most with Drake May, and you hope there's a connection there. Right away, I think drive starters to DeMario Douglas, short, easy throws to DeMario Douglas, that's probably who's going to benefit the most. But I hope they're taking shots down the field, and Polk may be that guy. You know, maybe seeing more of Kayshon Booty, or hell, with Kendrick Bourne back, maybe seeing more in that intermediate to even deep area of the field, you see some shots there. But consistently, I bet DeMario Douglas benefits from that.
Yeah, Kayshon Booty played a lot last week, so hopefully that kind of goes up a little bit more. Just because the potential is so much greater for a player like him than Tyquan Thornton or KJ Osborne or guys like that. So if you have Polk, Pop, Booty, and maybe Kendrick Bourne's a little bit healthier, to your point, like those are four guys, plus the two running backs. So I think you can throw to both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then Henry and Hooper. Like, mix those guys. I don't think they're going to be as big a part of the offense. I do think, through 5 weeks, Hunter Henry leads the team in targets. I don't know if that's ideal. Like, I don't know if that's what you really want. Like, maybe more red zone stuff. Remember,
I don't think, even if you have, like, Travis Kelce, maybe a bad example.
Kelsey's the only guy.
Who's the best tight end in football right now?
That's a good question.
Trey McBride? Like, who's the best? Like, I don't think a tight end should be leading your team in targets. Bowers?
Maybe. Who's Laporta?
I don't think a tight end.
Kittle?
I don't think, maybe. So, good example. Fine. Let's stick with San Francisco. Patriots fans just watched it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be your leader. Even if he's the best tight end in football, he shouldn't be your leader in targets.
No.
It should be Deebo and Ayuk in a functional
offense. Yeah. Hopefully that changes. And so, I think Hunter Henry is best suited red zone. His first year with the Patriots was Mac Jones' rookie year. The last time this team had any kind of like semblance of a successful offense, he had a bunch of touchdowns. And it was all like red zone touchdown. So that's really where he should be used rather than in the middle of the field.
Good question in the Twitch chat for you, Keith. I don't know specifically to you, but I think I can answer it as well. It was Slim Jim, I think it was. It scrolled by quickly.
Okay.
Where do we think Drake May is going to get all this time to throw?
Well, the thing is, Brissett has a little bit more time than people believe. Brissett has the same amount of time to throw as Jaden Daniels. And what, almost as much time as Patrick Mahomes?
Yep.
Or more. Whatever it was, it was close.
Let me give you the number. Phil Perry had some good numbers, but I'll pull them up. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah, I think it's more Jacoby Brissett holding on to the ball. And don't get me wrong, there are plenty of times where he was sacked because of the offensive line and he didn't have time. He's been sacked plenty of times where you can kind of go through them all, right? But Brissett's been sacked 17 times this year. I don't think it's fair. Like, if you rewatch them all, are they all on the offensive line? No. And my hope is that Drake May makes his decisions a little bit quicker, gets the ball out quicker, and therefore the passing yards will go up because you have a guy that's pulling the trigger quicker.
So Phil Perry wrote, and we talked about this on Monday, but I'll bring him back up. The Patriots were pressured on 18 of 37 dropbacks against the Dolphins. That's 49%, which sounds like a high rate.
Yeah.
On the 18 pressured dropbacks, the average time to throw was 2.96 seconds, almost 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Phil says
it's an eternity.
That's not an unmanageable number. For reference, the Chiefs have the second longest snap to pressure rate in football at 2.99 seconds.
So it's the same.
They have the second longest time to throw, and you're right there. So the point is Brissett's holding on to the ball. While there were six dropbacks that were generated in under 2 seconds, that's probably on the offensive line.
Right.
There were also five that came with 3.5 seconds or more. If your quarterback's holding on to it for 3.5 seconds, like Brissett was,
you're going to take a lot of sacks.
That's not on the offensive line. And so this idea that he just doesn't have any time to throw, that really wasn't the case against the Dolphins. Let me give you one more thing that Reese wrote about the other day and Terp reminded me of this morning. Drake May is used to dealing with pressure.
All right.
He's used to dealing with that, and he has been dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
When he was at the University of North Carolina, he faced 409 pressures in his 2 years as a starter. That's the most of any FBS school.
Yikes.
So he's used to dealing with pressure. Now, he's used to dealing with it in the NCAA, NFL.
But,
it's different, but this is a guy who dealt with more pressure than anyone else the 2 years he was in college.
Yeah, because the knock-on was Bo Nix is one of those guys, right, that had, no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would just get it, throw it, and had clean pockets for days. So, yeah, he is used to dealing with a little bit more crap than some of the other quarterbacks. And I just think you have to be ready to accept some of the growing pains. Like, he's going to have bad moments, right? And he's going to have bad games, between now and the end of the season. But is there enough that it's pointing in the right direction? Like, are you going to be 2025 feeling better about it? But hey, Drake May had 12 starts under his belt, and at least the arrow is pointing up. I think that's reasonable. I think that's my expectation. I think that's what's going to happen.
So Alex Van Pelt is at the heart of all of this.
And again,
he's going to talk at 11.
I feel worse about it now.
I saw Giardi tweet today. Giardi says, and he was on WEEI Afternoons yesterday with Andy Hart and Christian Arkan. You can go back and check that out on the Odyssey app.
Not right now.
From Giardi.
Not right now.
No, well, not in the middle of our program. Just eventually.
Okay.
He says some internally believe the team would be 3-2 if they had gotten better quarterback play.
Oh, sorry.
Whew. Though those same folks are glossing over the coaching issues and defensive regression is what Giardi says. So I don't think Van Pelt is one of those guys who thinks they'd be 3-2.
No.
My guess is that's Mayo, and that's part of the reason we're seeing
Mayo,
the quarterback
Covington,
switch.
Covington, Springer,
yeah.
Kraft, Wolf.
Not Van
everybody
Pelt.
But Van Pelt.
Well, not Wolf either.
No,
I don't
maybe
think.
Not. No.
Not Van Pelt. So what do we think Van Pelt does this week? Do we think Van Pelt, in his arsenal, in his playbook, do we think he has the capacity to, give Drake May the kind of plays we want to see, the short and intermediate throws, the plays where he's on the run, rolling out and throwing, the plays where he's just designed runs for Drake May? Do we think Van Pelt has the capability to do that? He has the capacity in his playbook to do that. Do we think, how do we feel about him in this transition?
I like his scheme. There's been moments when he's shown to be a good play caller.
Because answer my own question, I don't, Dan Orlovsky.
Neither do I. This is the thing that scares me the most about the Drake May development. And this is also true from, 3 months ago or whenever he was hired? 12th guy interviewed, given the job because nobody wanted it, essentially. Has been in the league a really, really long time. Has been a play caller once, and it was in 2009 with Dick Geron and the Buffalo Bills. So he's been in the league since 09, even prior to 09. And he's been either a QB coach or a coordinator without play calling duties. When we talked to him a couple of weeks ago and we were asking him about splitting reps with young guys and preparing a quarterback to play and how unique that situation is, he's like, yeah, I've never dealt with it. So it doesn't exactly sound like the guy that is the best suited to mold a rookie quarterback and get the most out of him. I know people scoffed at it at the time, but I loved when Washington hired Cliff Kingsbury.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I don't want Kingsbury to be my head coach, but that's not the job. That's offensive coordinator. He's worked with all these great quarterbacks his whole life.
And you're not saying this after 5 weeks.
No,
I wanted
it at the time.
Yeah, you were saying this when it happened, and as for our show, you've been saying it since week one.
And Jaden Daniels looks good, and I think Cliff Kingsbury deserves some credit for that. And so, yeah, turning it over to Alex Van Pelt and Drake May, that scares me. Because I think Drake May individually is a very talented guy, but he's going to need all the help he can get. And when you look at perfect situations, so many people point to O-line, 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 or receivers, receivers, receivers. Play caller, pretty significant to me. Who's calling the plays? When Jared Goff played for Jeff Fisher and whoever their OC was, he looked like a bust. Sean McVay comes in, they make the Super Bowl. That's a pretty staggering. Tua Tagovailoa looked like a starter, not starter, I don't know. Mike McDaniel shows up, the guy looks like an MVP. So the play caller can be the most important thing, even more important than the O-line for some of these young quarterbacks.
No, I think that's fair, but I also do think, if he's truly an elite quarterback, could he reach his potential with a better play caller? Yeah, but he should still be able to make Alex Van Pelt look pretty good. If he's truly elite, maybe not this week, but eventually.